How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Several days ago, we had a conversation, extended conversation, with Bishop John Shelby Spong, the former bishop of Newark in the Episcopal Church. Now, he has a lot of things to say that are controversial, but he hasn't begun saying them lately. He has a long career as both a bishop and a former bishop of hoping for his church, pushing his church, dragging his church. Often the church going along willingly into what he thinks is the next phase of Christianity. 24 years a bishop. And near the end of that conversation, I asked Bishop Spong what he thought about the current state of the Episcopal Church. He was rather pleased. Joining us to respond to Bishop Spong's thoughts on the current state of the Episcopal Church, Bishop Keith Ackerman. He's a former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, and he's president of an Anglican reform group called Forward in Faith. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always a blessing for me. Thank you.
Let's listen to Bishop John Shelby Spong's response when I asked him about his long career as a bishop and how really he's kind of gotten his way lately in the Episcopal Church USA and what he thought about the current state of the church.
Oh, I just love it. I don't expect institutions to go as rapidly as individuals. It takes a while for an institution to turn itself. You don't turn a great ship at sea and immediate just by turning your steering wheel. But I think the Episcopal Church is in a wonderful place today. Part of the reason is that we're pretty disorganized. We've always been disorganized. We don't have an infallible pope. We don't have an inerrant Bible. We sort of grow the way an amoeba grows. We stick out a pseudopod here, and if it makes progress, we stick out another. If it doesn't, we draw it back and stick out another pseudopod here. We don't grow in a straight line. And yet, if the essence of the gospel is to call us into a deeper and fuller humanity, which is what I think John's gospel says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. If that's the essence of the gospel, then the Episcopal Church seems to me to be living it out. And I've lived long enough. When I grew up in North Carolina, I grew up in a very segregated church. If a black person had come to my church to worship, they probably would have been arrested for trespassing. Today, the Diocese of North Carolina and the Episcopal Church has one bishop, and he's an African-American named Michael Curry, and he's an incredible human being. I grew up in a church where a woman couldn't serve on any authoritative committee in the church. She could sing in the choir, she could teach Sunday school, but she could not sit on any governing body. And I've lived long enough, and she certainly couldn't imagine being a priest. I've lived long enough to see not only about 40% of our clergy become women, but about 25 of them have become bishops, and one of them has become the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. That's an enormous amount of progress in 1 year, in one lifetime. And when I grew up in North Carolina, we didn't have any homosexual people. We just didn't allow them to be visible. And I didn't know what the word homosexual was until I was 15, 16 years old. And today, when I retired, I had 35 out-of-the-closet gay and lesbian clergy serving openly in the Diocese of Newark. 31 of them lived with their partners. We have now consecrated two lesbian and gay bishops, both of whom live with their partners. The United States has moved very dramatically in the last 5 years to affirm the rights of gay and lesbian people in a wide variety of ways, including in marriage rights, and eventually it's going to be complete. I just feel that it's just an enormous, exciting time to be alive, and the Christian Church, the one that I'm identified with, has just been faithful and struggled through a lot of difficult issues, but we kept our eye on what it means to be a Christian, and I think we've come out on the right side of all of them. So I'm really rather proud of the Episcopal Church at this moment.
I want to take that apart, if we could, Bishop Ackerman, kind of one by one. He begins by talking about how the Episcopal Church kind of tests the waters. He says doesn't grow in a straight line. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's interesting when he uses the term we, He is what we would call a classic liberal. And so I would have to say that he's probably right. His circle would probably say that. The reality is worldwide Anglicans would not know what he's talking about.
So
he's explaining an Episcopal church that that he has helped create.
How important is it that he and his church have intentionally deviated from the path of the rest of Anglicanism?
Well, I think one of the heights and qualities of narcissism when it becomes corporate is that we recognize that there are rules in this world that need to be followed as long as we recognize that none of them apply to me. So the question we have to ask in such settings is, what is the difference between being disobedient and being prophetic? Many revisionists think that what they are doing is prophetic, when in fact, if one were to look at what the tenets of the faith are, and if the objective truths are, then we would see that it's disobedience. For example, he mentions the issue of a Bible, that we don't have an inerrant Bible. We don't have a pope. To that, he's mentioning two of the three types of ecclesiology, which is convenient because you can look at that and see extreme uses in both. But he doesn't draw in the third prong of ecclesiology, which is the conciliar mode. And the conciliar mode takes into account something that was defined in the Vincentian canon, that which was believed at all times and in all places by all.
He talks about the essence of the gospel being the pursuit of a deeper, fuller humanity, and he thinks the Episcopal Church gets high marks in that response. What do you say?
Well, I would say that, once again, revisionists, people who revise truth and revise faith in order to meet the culture, have to use different terms. And so the term usually used would be inclusivity. But the problem is, what we determine from the scriptures is that the only inclusivity of the Bible to be found in the Gospels is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's inclusive. However, what we do see in the scriptures is comprehension. And I think when revisionists come to a point of understanding the difference between inclusivity and comprehension, they will be in a better position to argue. For example, you heard that he lumped civil rights, the issues related to women in leadership, specifically ordination, and homosexuality all into one big pot. What an embarrassment.
Now, he did that essentially saying it was not only an historical argument, the progress that was made in his terms, but
yes.
He's actually saying that all three of those things are the same thing, isn't he?
Yes, he is. That's what he's saying. And that is so horrendously embarrassing. He's, if I may speak about him as a person, I've known him for many, many years. We served together in the House of Bishops. He is a very pleasant, charming man. But I believe that what you've heard in this soundbite indicates the level, the depth, if you will, of understanding about what the nature of ecclesia is, of what we mean by church. What has been created here is a denomination. The moment we create a denomination which departs from the essential teachings that have always existed, then we have to really question whether it's truly church or not.
He characterized the Episcopal Church as faithful. He seemed oblivious to not only worldwide Anglicanism, but to the many like yourselves who have found it necessary to break that fellowship precisely because of unfaithfulness. With about a minute, your final thoughts.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because he used the analogy of a boat that turns. You see, what he should have gone on to say is that they were able to turn the boat quickly, but did not allow for the fact of how many people were thrown off the boat. So those of us who were thrown off the boat, if you will, into the water, we're not on that boat anymore. So when you have fewer people on the boat, you can pretty much do whatever you want. And I'm in many ways thinking that TEC today stands for the Evaporating Church.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy and president of an Anglican reform group called Forward in Faith. You'll find a link to Forward in Faith under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bishop Ackerman, thank you very much for your time.
Always a blessing. God bless.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. First with Frank Turek. Attorney General Eric Holder made a speech, a rather lengthy speech, to a pro-homosexual organization called the Human Rights Campaign. There, he employed some arguments that have now become standard, sometimes even axiomatic, about same-sex marriage and about human rights and civil rights. We'll hear some of what he had to say. Oh, he also mentioned hate crimes as well, because he is, of course, Attorney General of the United States. We'll hear from Attorney General Eric Holder what he had to say in the course of that speech, and then we'll also get some response from Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamined.org. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We'll continue our ongoing weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament, today talking about Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15, the choice of life and death. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. It's straight ahead in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. book of the month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at issuesetc.org.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star,
listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.